I'd like you to turn to the 46th Psalm this morning, if you would please. Psalms 46. And then we'll be going to Philippians briefly and then to the book of John, chapter 13. The words should be on the screen. I hope whoever's running the words today can keep up. We're going to kind of be going all over, but this morning I want to talk on the subject of actually taking a line from the 10th verse of this psalm. Be still and know. Be still and know. And then we'll finish it as we read it. The 46th psalm. We're going to start at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And then the word Selah there is an ancient Hebrew word that means roughly in our vernacular to just pause or to rest and think about what has just been said. It's called a Selah moment. And if you were reading this in your private time, you might take a little longer than we'll do this morning, but might take a little time to look at those verses again and think about them and how they relate to you. Then it continues, verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her and shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. With another Selah moment there. And we've just talked about Jacob here the last couple of weeks. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. And then our key verse this morning, be still and know that I am God. Let's say it together. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's as if David is quoting God himself. God has spoken these words and David is quoting them. And then it ends with a Selah moment. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know. It's important that we know who God is. It's important that we know who Jesus is. It's important that we know who the Holy Spirit is. All of those things are important. It's important that we know what the Bible says. It's important that we try to live that out in our lives as best we can. But when David quoted God by saying, be still and know that I am God, there's two things that are connected here, and I want to play on those for a moment. The first one is to be still. And then the second is to know. And the phrase to know probably denotes more than just head knowledge, although that's a part of it. But it's also the experience of knowing God. And I know my wife, Cheryl. I know her. I can pick her out in a crowd. I know her voice. The other day we were somewhere and we were separated by an aisle of, I think I was at the tool department, she was at the baby clothes department, and I won't tell you the store we were at, but anyway, she loves Ross, and so we were, I heard that sweet voice of Cheryl. And just automatically, without thought of whoever's around me, I went, Dolly! And everyone starts staring at me. And then I heard her voice, "I'm over here." See, I know her. I know her. But it's more than just I recognize her or recognize her voice. I know her because for over 51 years, we've been together as husband and wife. And so to be still and to know that I am God is more than just saying, yes, there is a God, or yes, Jesus died on the cross, but it's how to have this intimate relationship with God. Amen? And to do that, we need some be still moments. Now, that's the first part of this. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. That's tough. It probably was easier for all the commentators that I read in my library, and many of you have access to as well. All of you do through the internet. But they didn't have television or radio or internet or phones, and they probably had more time for be still moments. But even with all of our technology, how many know it's important that we have our be still moments, right? Be still. What is a be still moment? That's a tough one. Children, in my opinion, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an educator, but it seems to me that children learn better when they're still. When they're still. Now, there may be some argument that they learn a lot when they're running around and all that, but I think they learn better when they are still. And so, bless our teachers who try to maintain order and keep the children still long enough to teach them, okay, 2 and 2 is 4, not 22. Okay? Come on, amen? How many appreciate our teachers and our schools? You bet. We appreciate you. Yeah, give them a hand. Amen. They've got a tough job. So we try to keep the children still. And in Sunday school class and kids' church, if we can just keep them still for a little bit, we think they'll learn better. And then you got to have some active things too, because kids got to be moving. I think kids got to be moving too. But it's important. But what is a be still moment for you? What is a be still time? Do we have them? And should we have them? Well, I hope we do. Now, a be still time for all of us may be different, especially in the world that we live. And sometimes we think of be still moments as, you know, everything is quiet, maybe the birds are chirping, and soft music is playing in the background, and you're just sitting there, and as Eddie, my son, likes to say, with my cup of coffee out on the deck, you know, he describes his be still moment, and I think, boy, that's great. Wish I was there with you, but then it wouldn't be a be still moment, right? But not everyone can do that, especially if you're a mom or dad with kids at home. Come on, right? It's tough to have that kind of a be still moment, right? But a be still moment is different for everyone. And I thought about that this morning on the way to church. I thought, what are some of my be still moments? And you can't pattern after me. I can't pattern after you. But one of the times that I consider a be still moment for me is when I'm driving up to our church camp. And I've told you this before. It's about a 45-minute drive, 54 miles from my house. And for 45 minutes, just me alone in my truck, just enjoying the presence of the Lord. The Lord and I can really, we can just talk, right? We talk less now that traffic's increased, but we can talk, and I can have those be still moments. Another be still moment for me, and Eddie will testify to this as well, is vacuuming the church. I don't do that a whole lot now because others have taken up that mantle, but used to when it was my job, and I would vacuum the church. That was be still moments. I wasn't physically still, but mentally, I was talking to the Lord. I got more sermons vacuuming than I did sitting in my office. That's just the way I am. And yet, other of my colleagues, my pastor friends through the years, they have different ways that they have their be still moments. But everyone needs a be still time. And so maybe it's in a little desk that you have, or maybe it's in your garden. Maybe it's out in the woods. You know, just taking a walk and enjoying God's creation. And you can just be still and know that He is God, and God can speak to you. We all need that. We all need that. And in the hecticness of life, and especially I mentioned raising children or grandchildren, it's awful hard to get those be still times, but you can grab them if you're looking for them. And if you'll take those times, and they may not be long or extended, but it's a time where you can just kind of stop, turn everything off. And this is kind of meddling, so let me meddle for 30 seconds. Probably best if you don't have your smartphone with you. I know how tough that is. I know how tough it is. It's like our constant companion, good to that, bad to that. But sometimes just being still means you got everything on mute. And you don't even have the buzzer on, okay? But you're just taking time to talk to the Lord, taking a walk or whatever. Am I on track here? Amen? And I think it's important for children, since the children and young people are in the audience, I think they need some be still time. And that's going to look different for every child, in my opinion. For one child, that may be their nap time. It may be their just quiet time, playing with little toys or something. But don't, in my opinion, again, parents, I don't think you can expect every one of your children to have the same kind of be still time. You have to adapt it to who they are and how God made them, right? Amen? And I know for my grandkids, most all of them have done this. We have some sacred dirt. We have holy ground in our house. And it's holy because all the kids have enjoyed it. And every now and then a neighbor's cat will enjoy it, but I try to get rid of that stuff. But they've enjoyed going out with their little deals, their little scoopers, and filling up those old Tonka trucks with dirt. And I've watched them, and it just relaxes them. And they just, you know, and now my great-grandchildren are doing it. Zion did it the other day after church on a Sunday in his good Sunday clothes. And Tyler said, "Where's Zion?" "Well, he's outside in the dirt." "Who let him get in the dirt?" Gigi Pa did. Great grandpa let him get in the dirt. And he just had a very good still moment. And I think the Lord spoke to him. And I think what God said to Zion is, "You have the greatest great grandpa of all great grandpas in the world." That's what I think. So young people need still moments, adolescents especially. So be still and know that I am God. So think for a moment where your be still place is and your be still time. And if you can't think of anything at all, anything, you just don't have any, ask the Lord to show you a place, a time that can be a be still moment for you, where you can just think about the Lord, maybe read some passages, listen to some, you know, soothing gospel music or something, to where you and God can just talk. Because the purpose of the be still moment is to know, right? Amen. To be still and know. To know what? To know that I am God. To know that I am God. I love traveling through the high desert, out toward Boise. There's some areas there, and we drove some through Tri-Cities and that desert and all those. There's nothing there. Now, Cheryl, that's not her be still place. She looks at that place and says, "I could not live out here. I could not live out here." I mentioned one time, "Wouldn't it be nice to live out?" She said, "Well, I'll write you." That's not her be still time. But I love just driving out and seeing that. And there's just something to me very special about that kind of place. Now, I don't plan to retire there or anything like that, because I want to have my wife with me as long as I want. But we all have to find that place, because it's there sometimes I can see the hand of creation, the hand of God, even in those dry desert places. Because it reminds me, I think maybe this is why I like it, of those times that I felt that way in my life, when I felt things were barren and dry, and there was no life. And then Jesus came and poured living water, and the desert blossoms like a rose, the Bible said. Amen? Those times when I feel like I just don't have enough to go on, and yet the rivers of living water flow into me, and all of a sudden I get this touch of Jesus that makes all the difference in the world. How many know what I'm talking about when I say Jesus comes, right? Jesus comes and refreshes. So be still and know that I am God. Especially when we're going through difficult times. Now, Paul's version of this verse 10 could be Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And I'm going to read that. And it'll be on the screen, I think. Maybe this is Paul's version of Psalms 46, 10, is Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And you'll know it well. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Maybe that's really saying be still. Be anxious for nothing. And in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let God know what you know. Even though God knows everything already, Paul says, let your requests be known to God. And you might say and argue the point, well, if God already knows, why do I need to tell him? Well, I know my wife loves me, but I love it when she says it. I love it when she says it. I know my family loves me. I know you love me. But when one of you say to me, Pastor, I love you, that is just special. Come on, everyone understand that? That's so simple. All right? And so God knows everything, yes. But he also wants to hear us make these things known to him. And maybe that's the be still moment. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice what happens. Be still and know that I am God, and the peace of God comes. There's something about a be still moment. Not every time, but many, many times in a be still moment. When we talk to the Lord, we just take the time to know him and to let him know us and our needs. When we're done, there's a peace that comes. The problem may not be solved, but there's a peace that comes that passes understanding. And so maybe that's Paul's version. So these be still moments are times when we really can talk to the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. And we can actually just talk to God, and we can question. We can bring God our questions at these be still moments. I won't go there right now. I'd like you to turn to the book of John now for the next few moments. And we're going to start at chapter 13. Now, I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll conclude. But I want to encourage you, and most of you probably read these chapters over and over many times, but even if that's true, I'd like you to reread at some point John 13 through John 17, chapter 13 to 17. And what that is that's a wonderful lineup of chapters where Jesus just really shared his heart with his disciples. It kind of begins, and in those chapters, you see the betrayal of Judas, the decision he made, all right? But also, it kind of starts with Peter responding. And if you have a red letter edition Bible, of course, the red letters means that's the words Jesus spoke. The majority of things spoken in chapters 13 through 17 are all red letter. That's because Jesus is doing the talking. But every now and then, there's those black letters pop up, and that means someone else is talking, whether John, who wrote the book, is giving his comments, or someone Jesus is talking to is talking to Jesus. And it's interesting. If you mark all those places, you'll find that Peter speaks two or three times, and that's Peter, because he's the guy. He speaks two or three times. And then in one of the passages, Peter motions to John. He wants to ask Jesus something, but Peter doesn't want to ask it. So he motions to John, who's sitting next to Jesus. You ask him. And then John asks the question. And then Thomas asks a question. Philip asks a question. And then toward the end of that, those verses, the disciples all begin to ask questions. And I call this kind of the still time. Be still and know. So these disciples are being still. Jesus is teaching. He's talking to them. And they're beginning to know more and more about Jesus and the fact that he is God. By the time it's over, this be still time, they know, those disciples know that he is God. They don't know everything, but they know that he is God. Now, in chapter 13, Peter speaks up. Jesus is going to wash his feet. Peter says, not me. You're not washing my feet. That's the job of a servant. And Jesus says to him, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part in me. And Peter says, then wash everything. Wash everything. And then Peter will speak up again a little later. And then he motions to John. And when he motions to John, he wants to know who the betrayer is. Okay, but we're going to skip over all that. And I want to pick out two of the places. And in chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas speaks. It's this be alone time, and Thomas asks Jesus a question. And the be still and know time is a time when you can ask God questions. You may not get an answer, but you can ask him. Because God always knows when the best time to give an answer, right? And he may answer you, but you may not understand the answer till later. But remember Thomas now, he's the doubter, right? Thomas is the one that said, I won't believe Jesus is alive unless I can plunge my hand into the wound in his side. And Jesus appears and says, okay, Thomas, here you go. And Thomas said, no, my Lord and my God. He said, blessed are you who can believe, but more blessed are those who will never see that wound or won't see that wound in this earth and believe me. And that's us. We haven't had that chance, but we believe. But it's interesting. Chapter 4, verse 5. Thomas said to him, and this is kind of this big still moment, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? That's pretty blunt. And then Jesus said this. One of the most famous sayings of Jesus we have in the book of John. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Thomas, all he said was, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And Jesus simply says, I am the way. It's not a road, it's a person. I am the way. But I'm not only the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to God except through me. So all of a sudden, be still and know that I am God. Here's a be still moment. Thomas says, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, no, I'm the way. You know me. I am the way. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And you can't get to God any other way except through Jesus. Except through Jesus. Now, there may be multiple ways we stumble on and get to Jesus, but we can't get to God the Father except through Jesus. But the wonderful thing about that is Jesus has open arms and he is open wide to anyone who hungers and thirsts for God. Come on, amen? We can find God, but we come through Jesus Christ. And so Thomas learned something that day. And Jesus goes on and said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So if you know me, I'm sitting right here with you. If you know me, you know the Father. Now, if we stop for a moment there and think about that, we know lots about Jesus. We can read all about him in the scriptures. And the more we read about him, the more we love him. The more we know him, the greater we love him. And Jesus is simply saying, if you know me, that's what the Father's like too. I had someone say to me one time, and they were very honest, and I didn't criticize them for saying it, but they said this, I love Jesus, but I can't stand God. And that was an honest expression. So we sit down and we had a discussion. I don't know that I was able to really resolve that in their heart right then. But see, what they had looked, they had read some passages in the Old Testament that disturbed them, and they figured God was this ugly thing up there that just strikes people down with lightning, and Jesus was the guy that kind of softened the blow. But that's not the way it is. If you've seen Jesus, he said to Thomas, you've seen the Father. Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. The Father did that because he loves us so much. Because he loves us so much. And so now this is a be still and know moment. And Thomas is knowing that he is God. Now we could say more, but I want to move on to the next point. So the next one I want to look at is Philip. And that's verse 8. So after this discussion with Thomas, Philip speaks up. And Philip is an interesting fellow. We don't know a lot about Philip. But we know that Philip, one, we know that he loved to introduce people to Jesus. We won't go there, but if you go back to John chapter 1, verse 43 through 47, you'll be introduced to Nathanael. And it says that once Philip found Jesus and followed Jesus, Philip went and found Nathanael. And where was Nathanael? He was sitting under a fig tree, more than likely. And then Jesus comes up and Philip says to Nathanael, Nathanael, we've found him spoken of in the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. And that's when Jesus comes up and says, Nathanael, you're a great guy. You have no animosity. You have no guile. And I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. What? See, the fig tree in Israel was the thinking tree. It was the tree, if you could, you found a fig tree and you'd sit down in it, or like Cheryl used to do when a little girl, you'd climb up into the branches and you would think about things. We were driving the other day and Cheryl said, look at that tree. That's the kind of tree I used to climb and pray and talk to God about. And I love that tree because my brother couldn't get up there. That was her thinking tree. So Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree. He was thinking. He was being still and knowing that I am God. And I'm sure there's a few of you here have a tree that's a favorite for you. Just find a tree, your tree, sit underneath it and be thinking about the Lord. That's a good thinking place. Well, Philip introduces Nathanael to Jesus. So here's Philip, and he says this in verse 8. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. All we want you to do is show us the Father. That's interesting because Jesus has just said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But look what Jesus responds. He says, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? You've been with me 3.5 years. Haven't you seen the Father? And he goes on, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Does this sound like a little gentle rebuke to you? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, etc. So what he says to Philip, he says, Philip, look, you've been with me 3.5 years. You've seen me do so many wonderful things. That's the Father doing that. Because the Father's in me, and I'm in my Father. Jesus really establishes the concept we know as the Trinity there. He said, I am the Father, I'm in the Father's in me. So this is a be still moment, and Philip is knowing that he is God. Now there's other things that we could share, but our time is concluded. So I want to end it kind of with this wrap up. Back to Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I think we all need a place where we can be still. And maybe it's not so much a place as it is a frame of mind. Just be still. In Paul's words in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Jesus invites us to ask him. He invites us to pray. He invites us to ask him why. Spend some time with the Lord. And whether it's 2 minutes or 12 minutes or 22 minutes or an hour, spend some time with the Lord. And whether it's sitting in a tree or taking a walk in the woods or sitting at your desk at home or kneeling by your couch after the kids have gone to sleep, find a be still time and a be still place. And there you will know that he is God. And be looking for some surprises. As you're about your day-to-day activities, you just might find something that'll show you that he is God. For me, maybe driving through the desert, or that little Hispanic family who called on the name of Jesus in that crowded room, that was a be still and know that I am God moment. Praise the Lord. But God wants to reveal himself to us. He really does. And we just need to make time for him to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, please. Help me out here. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. You believe that? Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 Well, Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We pray that you go with us today. Thank you for the children, the young people that were in service with us. Thank you for our special guest, Julian, Lord, all the way from Wales. And Lord, just bless each one and help us this week to find a be still place and a be still time so that we can know that you are God. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming to service today. We'll see you, if not before, next Sunday in God's house.